Okay, welcome to class six. This is the final one we'll do on church membership. If you are interested in membership, the way that it normally works is you go through this class. If at the end of this class you're still interested in membership, then you would let us know. We'd simply hear, Mike and I would hear your testimony, and we'd go forward from there. So that's really the only hurdle for you joining the church is having a credible profession of faith. But this lets you know who we are, and then we can move on to the next step. The next step is you communicating that you do want to join, and then we'll some of your testimonies we've already heard, but you know, it's good practice to share it again. And then we can go forward with that. But this one is about church membership. Is there such a thing as biblical church membership? Should I be a member in a church, or is it okay just to do my own thing and float around? What is church membership? This is just a definition came up with a long time ago. We've been using these slides quite a while. Local church membership is a commitment. That's really what it is. It's a commitment every Christian should make to attend, love, serve, and submit to a local body of believers. It's a commitment every Christian should make to attend, love, serve, and submit to a local body of believers, to grow together in community, to grow in grace together. So the question that flows out of that is, obviously, is it biblical? As we've said, God's Word is what defines everything we are and everything we do. Church membership is assumed in the New Testament. And what I mean by that, maybe they didn't do membership exactly the way that we do, but everybody, every Christian had a local body of believers that they attended with, went to, were submitting to, were part of that local church. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, it says this, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So he wrote his letter to that group, that church, in Philippi that was had elders and deacons, had leadership, body of saints together. So that implies that the church in Philippi was a clearly defined body of believers with a formal governing structure, overseers and deacons. You see that same thing in a lot of the letters, like Corinth, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. And if you read that letter, it's amazing he can make that statement. But every church has its issues and its struggles. But you see how the New Testament is assuming that, right? It's not just this body of people out there that have no real connection that they're writing to. They're writing to specific bodies, specific churches in different areas. The Bible stresses, another reason, the Bible stresses mutual accountability. We need to live in community because we need one another to help one another walk with Christ. This is from Matthew 18, 15 to 17. We've already mentioned this when we talked a little bit about church discipline. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you and you have gained your brother, but if he does not listen, take it one or two others along with you. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile, a tax collector. Notice that it's assumed that every person has a body that they belong to that you can tell this to. This doesn't mean you just go put it on the radio or go down on the street corner and yell it out. You come through the leadership of the church, but there's a local body involved in loving one another, in encouraging one another, in holding one another accountable to walk with Jesus. So how is Matthew 18 possible without a definable, connected group of believers that are doing life together? And then later, 1 Corinthians 5:2, let him who has done this be removed from among you. That's excommunication from a local body. Right? So church discipline assumes this mutual accountability that's there in the New Testament assumes that everybody is part of a local body where they serve, where they're committed, where they worship, where they do life together so that they can hold one another accountable. You got to know somebody to hold accountable, right? To even know if they're sinning. Right? And we're not nitpicking each other to death. This, these serious issues. Christians are required to submit to their leaders. How can you do that without a local defined body of people? Look at this in Hebrews 13. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And when it's talking about submit to your leaders as they lead you and follow Christ and they lead you in the Word, it doesn't mean that I can come and tell you where to shop, buy groceries, and who to hire to cut your lawn, and where to send your kids to school, and you know what I mean? It's obeying, really what you're obeying Christ as your leaders are showing you what it means to follow Christ and what the Word requires. But how can you have leaders to whom you're to submit if there's no defined body that you're a part of? It seems to be clearly logical to me. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor, look at this, labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That people who are laboring among you, part of your group, they're in this, you know them. They're in a definable body of people. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Just simply at the bottom, without membership, who is it that the New Testament is referring to whom you must submit? To whom must submit to a specific group of leaders? Without a definable body of people and a church leadership that you know, this is impossible. So, in again, church. There was never a controversy over whether one should be a member of a church for, I mean, there were a few splinters, but a long time. And again, shepherds are required to care for the flock. Think about a shepherd and his sheep out in the field. That's a really defined unit, isn't it? This shepherd has a certain number of sheep. He knows them by name. He calls them out. They follow him. He leads them into green pastures and takes care of them. That's the picture that's used for a pastor pastoring the church. It says, shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, for not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Servant leadership like Jesus. How am I going to be an example to people who don't even know I exist? Never are around me. Right? How is Mike going to do that? How are you going to know who? Right? To identify as your leaders. Look at that, and it says there in the third verse, those in your charge. Your portion, your lot, implies that the elders knew whom they were responsible for. It's just another way of talking about membership. A body, a definable body that worships and serves Jesus together. And they know one another. Again, to the leadership. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which He obtained with His own blood. So, again, the charges to the body, the charges to the leaders can only be accomplished in the context of a definable body. And that's what we're calling membership. I mean, by coming to faith in Jesus, you are a member of the body of Christ at large. You are included in the body of Christ. You are His and one of His followers. And within that, He has founded His church and organized His church so that, especially today, there are local churches in almost every area. And in order to be a follower of His, He would have you to commit to one of those local bodies. Not a perfect one. You know the old saying, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. There are no perfect churches. But the one to which you can commit to and serve in the midst and agree about the major things and learn and grow with one another about the others. But these kind of things are impossible without a particular church that has particular people in it. Again, spiritual gifts and the metaphor of the body in 1 Corinthians 12. Church membership is implied in the metaphor of the body. The original meaning of the word member is a member of a body, like a hand, foot, eye. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all are members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. So writ large, we are individually members of the body of Christ and part of His body, that He would have committed to a local manifestation of that, that you know them, they know you, and you can use the gifts that He's given you to serve in the context of that body. Now, I'm going to stop a minute. Any comments or questions about that? I've worn you all out by now, right? Does it make sense? You see that? It's impossible for you to do what Christ requires of you without being a part of a local body and having leaders that you can submit to as they submit to Him, and leaders that lead you in a servant leadership way. Not domineering, not driving, but servant leadership way. You know, you show up at a church that you've never been to and they don't know you, and you say, I have the gift of preaching and I want to preach this morning. They're crazy if they put you in the pulpit. They don't know you. And you might be crazy to go there. You don't know them. I put it at the bottom here. Lone Ranger Christians are not a contradiction. Because becoming a Christian means being united to Christ. Being in union with Christ expresses itself in union with a body of local believers. And a body of local believers to which you commit is the only way I can see you can fulfill these mandates that Christ has given us. You can't do this doing church on TV at home. There has to be a definable body of believers. Again, doing life together is both exampled and commanded in the New Testament. Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Notice that community, that connection, that side-by-sideness. There's a local body of believers is the only way. People that you know and love, and they know you and love you, and you're together regularly loving and serving Jesus, is the only way I know that you can fulfill that command. It is impossible to love Jesus and not love and want to be in fellowship with His people. And I know, and I understand, people have been hurt deeply in the church, and it jades them and it creates fear, and so they pull back, right? And I understand that happening, but don't let that become the pattern. You got to pour back in. You got to trust Jesus. You got to connect. There's a risk in all love relationships. You'll never find a love relationship there's not risk in. But Jesus would have us be one in community around Him, on mission for Him in our local area, in a place where we can love and serve with one another, love and serve Jesus. Go.
You said that you couldn't do it at home on TV. There's got to be exceptions to that rule.
There will be hardship exceptions. Normally speaking, is what we're talking about. You know, if you are able to be out and about, and you should be involved in a local church. But yes, you'll have shut-ins. And if we have shut-ins in our church, we need to be going to them regularly to make sure they're still in community, still know the people, still have leaders in their homes and people that are teaching them and that they can submit to. Handicap, various things. I mean, injuries. There's a lot of different things. Maybe not TV, but you could be called to be a missionary in a foreign field where there are no other Christians. And certainly God would have special grace for you in that situation. But normally and ordinarily speaking, as we can, we are to be plugged into a local body. And so, but if we are plugged into a local body and then we grow older and we can't get around or something happens, then that body has a responsibility to still include that person in the body life and be with them and come to them and help them still have community in Christ. So, normally speaking, that this is the only way to faithfully live out these commands that Christ has given us to do them together. And then as far as saying missionaries, those would be sent out by the church. Those would be, the church would know them and have tested them and have approved them and have sent them out. So they'd still be part of the body of the believers, even though they're out on a foreign field. A lot easier these days with email and all this stuff that we have than it used to be. So that answer, that make sense? What else?
Be prepared to be if you're part of the body and for some reason you're deployed, expect your wife to get a call or expect people to pursue you, that this is our family.
Yeah.
We want to know that you're ill.
Please let us know.
We're trying to love on.
If something's happening, you know, if you're part of the body and suddenly you're not here, we're going to worry about you. Right? And here's, I think I've mentioned this before, but maybe not, so it'll be on the recording. Please don't let me find out you're sick and in the hospital on Facebook. Unless you've been in an accident and unconscious. And please let us know when you're struggling and when you have needs and when things happen, because we want to be with you and for you and pray for you and help you. And you're not a bother any more than you bother God. He's not too busy to hear for your prayer. That's why we're here. Is to help you and come alongside you and to be in community with you. I know a lot of people just don't want to bother you. But, you know, I would have gone into something else if I didn't want to be bothered. Not this. True. You can't become a pastor and say, don't bother me. Some do, but they're not pastors. But, you know, I mean, so anyway, let us know when stuff's going on. Honestly, we've already talked about church discipline, but if you run off sin, I'm coming after you. Join or not, if you keep coming here and you leave your spouse for some reason, or if you do lovingly, like Jesus, but me and Mike gonna knock on your door. I heard a funny story about this guy who had left his family and moved in with this lady. And he went to Grace Community Church in California, John MacArthur's pastor. And somehow John heard about it. Big church. And John found out with a phone number, found out where he was and called him. Said, hey, so-and-so, this is John. He said the only thing he heard on the other end of the line was, ah, 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 and he hung up. He left and went back home. Preacher found out. So anyway. But seriously, if we're going to glorify Christ, we're going to do it in community, together. And so find the local body that He wants you to plug into, to sacrifice for, to fight for unity in, you know, and plug into that body and serve Jesus there. We pray and hope it's here, but if it's not here, we'll help you find that somewhere else. Because you, for your own spiritual health, need to not be a lone ranger in any form of that, but be plugged into a local body that where you have faithful leaders and faithful followers and you can, people you can do life in community together. You don't have to agree about everything. A thing called grace, right? But we want to agree on the essentials. So what am I committing to when I join? To submit to the authority of Scripture. Now that's what I want you to hear. When that big word submit ultimately is submitting to Jesus and His Word. If we can't show you why Jesus asked you to do or be a certain way or thing, you're not responsible to do that. To steward the resources God has given you, including time, talent, spiritual gifts, and finances. All between you and the Lord. I'm going to help you with that. This includes regular financial giving, service, and participation in community that is sacrificial, cheerful, and voluntary. And raising your kids up to be that way. Sometimes it'll mean you get up earlier. Sometimes it'll mean you stay out later. Sometimes it'll mean the children's schedule gets broken. in order to be part of a small group and things like that. But it's for all everybody's good that we do life together in community. Thirdly, by grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit to joyfully walk in holiness in all areas of life as an act of love and worship to Jesus Christ. If you love me, you'll obey me. He says that's what we're to hold each other lovingly accountable to, is faithfully following Jesus. And then to lovingly submit to the leaders and the teaching of the church, and to diligently strive for unity and peace within the church. So I would lovingly submit to the leaders and the teaching of the church as it is biblical. We can go off the rails sometimes. You see people do that all the time. If I go off the rails, hold me to this. If I won't stay with this, run me off. If you have to get a stick, we're to follow Christ in His Word. That's the last slide. But a lot of things hold us back. But don't let tradition, fear, or former pain rob you of the blessing to committing to and pouring your life out for Christ in a local body of believers who love both Jesus and you. The gospel-centered life cannot be lived out in isolation. Thoughts? Anybody, well, you're obviously here and you're interested in joining, but does anybody not believe in a formal church membership? Where you're committing to a church, you're submitting to the church and its leaders, you're doing life in community together. You see that from what, at least from what I presented today, is a biblical concept. Which requires a lot of us, it requires, you know, a lot of you, but it's all out of love for Jesus and following Him because of His grace in our lives. But without the local church, there is no Christianity. A strong statement, but I believe it's a biblical statement. Final thoughts or questions?
I'm not really sure how to state this, or what it is that I'm really trying to communicate. But we've had a number of people who have gone through Grace Church 101, studied the materials, asked questions, joined the church. 2 weeks later, they're gone. They're going to another church. And it's like, wait, what? You know, no explanation, no anything. It's like, it's just very taken very flippantly, I guess, yeah, is what I'm trying to say. So while, you know, this isn't a marriage, it is a commitment. It's serious. It's not, it shouldn't be, you know, you're joining the Girl Scouts or whatever it is that you do, but you know, it's joining with a local body of the church who is going to love you, and it's painful whenever you remove yourself.
Yeah.
Well, we invest in those people.
Yes.
And they have, yeah, commitments here, so most of the time they're committed to serving, and then all of a sudden they're
just gone. Yeah, it is. It's very hard. So, what am I trying to say then? I don't know.
Covenant relationship.
Take
it seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Biblical. It's a commitments always require sacrifice. And if, whether you join Grace Church or the Marine Corps, or you go somewhere else and you join another church, and then 4 weeks later you find something you like better, keep your commitment. It's just like marriage. You don't marry your wife. Well, some do. But you don't marry your wife and then 2 months later you, oh gosh, I did, I need, and late. No, that's not honoring God. That's not commitment. But if you make this the main reason you join a church, and not all, obviously Christ, the gospel at the center, His Word, rightly taught and preached, if that's the center, which it should be, then a lot of the ancillary things won't get in the way. But without that, you don't have a church. So, focusing in and on growing in grace. All churches are weak in areas and strong in others. There's not a perfect church. We are not perfect. We're not what we need to be, but praise God, we're not what we used to be. We're stronger and stronger. So, and you have spiritual gifts that you can use in service to His church. And we would delight for you to be a member in Grace Church if that's the way God is leading you. So after this class, if you still have a commitment to join Grace Church, let us know, and we will help you move forward in that process. If you don't come and say that to us, we'll love you anyway and help you and serve you and do whatever we can do to help you find that place you need to commit to. But we would love for it to be here. That's it. Anything we've covered, any comments or questions? And you can communicate those privately as well. If you have, like, if there's something that come up you didn't want to, like, ask or share publicly, you can email, text, in person, one-on-one. Share it with Cindy, whatever. Share it with Mike, share it with Jan, share it with, you know, somebody. But if there are questions or concerns, let us know. This is not an exhaustive class, but hopefully it's enough of a class to give you a good idea of who we are and what you can expect at Grace Church. So with that, I'll end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for calling us to yourself, reconciling us to yourself through your Son. Thank you that you give us the blessing of a local body of believers to be a part of. And just pray that you'd help us to honor you in that and to well serve your people, and that we would do life together in Christ and be outside these doors with the good news of your salvation. So we praise you and thank you. We pray that you'd bless everything we've studied and just lead and guide us step by step to love, honor, and glorify you, to love and sacrifice for one another, and to be light and salt to our neighbors. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.